It's the end of lectures. The midday sun is beating on you as you begrudgingly head over to the library. It's not easy to do this every single day, and you know that. But why is this day particularly so tough? You're thinking to yourself, like, is it worth it? Have you assessed whether you love what you do or why you do it? In today's episode, we have academic trainee at the University of Pretoria, Thaline Hanekom, blessing the mic. She was amongst the top four in her CTA class, ranked number 5 in the Psyche Initial Test of Competence for 2024, and is a CFA Level 1 holder. You know, motivation on the road, it goes up and down. So we explore the interconnected relationship between loving what you do, but also why you do it. We also chat about the story behind the certificate and painting the canvas on your road. CAs as global finance professionals, the power of South African pride, demystifying the unexpected struggles of a top student, how to see the bright side of any module, accountability versus responsibility, and you guessed it, more. I hope you enjoy. My travelers, guys, this one's going to be so quick. Good luck. We are entering some tough times. A lot is going to be going down. I know a lot of people have already entered into those times, examinations. It's crunch time for many. The jacarandas are in bloom. Such a terrifyingly beautiful scenario. You know, the beautiful purple, beautiful violet. I don't know if it's violet or purple. Someone teach me about colors, one of those artistic CAs or aspiring CAs. But yeah, keep everyone in your prayers, keep everyone in your wishes, and keep positive. That's the one thing that's going to take you through. Rather from the positive mind than the negative mind than the pessimist mind. At this point, like, the worst thing you can do is say you're not going to make it. Make sure that you are positive in this time. And I am rooting for you. You must know that. Enjoy the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inspire, empower, and inform the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, you're joined by another achiever. The accolades speak for themselves, guys. She's a graduate. Pardon me, everyone. A cum laude graduate who passed her undergrad and postgraduate degrees with distinction, completing her PGD. Not undergrad.
Postgrad, I got 74%. I didn't get a distinction.
Okay, it's not distinction, but it's distinction.
It's close enough.
It's not distinction, but it's distinction. Ranking number 4. Number 4 in her class at the University of Pretoria. She then went on to rank at number 5 in the initial test of competence, or ITC, the first board exam on the road in the entire country for 2024. She's now a CFA Level 1 holder as of May 2024. And interestingly, I actually found out about her through a full day course, which I regrettably couldn't attend last year, called the PGDAS Blueprint. So guys, it's very clear that she's more than just technically competent. She's holistically competent. Most importantly, she's apparently the biggest box supporter you'll ever meet. She's apparently double jointed and she loves to dance and loves to teach. She's an academic trainee at the University of Pretoria for PGDAS Financial Management, set to complete her articles at PwC Waterfall next year. Yes, she's an aspiring CA. Yes, she's a sister as well. We're joined by Thaline Hanekom. Thaline, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me and for all those kind words. Wow.
I don't lie. I just don't lie in my intros. I tell the truth, and that was you.
Sure. It's scary to hear it out loud sometimes. Wow. It's actually humbling. Thank you.
And I think I love these sessions because it's also such a great way to say, what have we done? And oftentimes as aspiring CAs, we don't realize that we've done a lot.
Mm.
There's a lot more. I don't know what the bias would be called, but as human beings, we're so short-term minded. Mm. Like, we're always going to think about, oh, my day is so bad. But like, what about last week? Oh, my year is so bad. What about the four other years of study that you went through, the three other years of study that you went through? High school, you had to have a certain quality of, you know, intelligence. So I hope this is that moment where you can say, oh, wow, I've actually done a lot. Mm.
No, it is. And when you actually look back and you go and make a list and you start thinking about it and you actually broaden your own scope of what you've done, it is quite humbling and it is amazing to see what you've been blessed with and where you started, where you're now, what the journey has been like. And sometimes, I said this earlier as well, is I feel like we are sometimes perceived as boring people. And when people ask me what's an interesting fact about yourself, it always seems weird to answer it because the only thing we've been doing has been studying. But when you actually go deeper into it, there's so much more that's going on. So yes, all those things that you achieve is actually on your CV, but the personal growth, the memories you've made, the friendship you build with people who actually also go through the trenches with you in this, that is what it's all about.
And so earlier I was doing an episode with a student at UCT, right? A remote interview, and somehow we got to the art of accounting. And I just mentioned how this time that you go through, it's a blank canvas at the beginning. And you know, it is a science, so yes, you have to get to your PG desk, you have to pass, you have to get to all these milestones. So there is a very definite thing and a frame to the journey. But what was the picture that you painted in your undergrad? What was the picture that you painted in your postgrad? What was the picture that you're going to paint for your PG, for your articles? These are moments that we get to actually realize, not just on a technical basis, but on very artistic one. There's stuff that happened in that 3 years. There's a story behind the certificate.
Yes.
And you have it, and we all have it, you know.
Wow, I love that you actually compare accounting to art, because I always also say that it's accounting is an art form that you don't understand unless you studied it.
Yes.
And it is so much more than just debits and credits. Now the picture, I don't know, it is not only one picture, I'd say. There's so many different aspects that undergrad and postgrad actually put you through the different canvases that you paint because of it. So, my story is, I think it is different than most students out there. Well, not maybe most students, but if like previous CAs, because we were the COVID babies. So my undergrad was at home, sitting in my bed in the cold winter mornings, listening to a tax lecture online. So it was very impersonal. So it is kind of a blur. It's like the whole COVID experience was just 1 year, but it was actually three. So I can't really remember all of the things in terms of studying, but COVID also actually opened a lot of opportunities in my personal life. I could stay with my brother for a whole year.
Oh, wow.
And I danced a lot. I remember the nights where there were still curfews and you had to get home by a certain time. So those are the things that I actually remember from undergrad. It's not necessarily the studies itself. I feel like if you have a balanced life and you do try to enjoy the art of accounting, the success and the marks and everything comes along. It's not something that you necessarily only work towards. That's like a byproduct of enjoying what you're doing. So yeah, that's my picture. Honours was probably the most difficult year in my whole life.
A lot of people say
PGDAS students are tough. But I also think you learn a lot and you get thrown into the deep end and you have to swim, and in the like swimming itself, there's so much more things that's going on. Life doesn't just stop because you're in PGDAS. So I think there's a lot of personal growth, a lot of fun memories, and I absolutely love what I'm doing. So I think the pictures are quite colorful.
Yeah, that's amazing. And And you're so spot on that they're different pictures, because I don't think you can compare undergrad with PGDAS.
No, definitely
not. Nor can you compare any of the experiences with what you're going through now.
Mm.
You know, your articles.
And it's so worth it. Like, every stage prepares you for it in a different way. The Tallinn of 2019 versus the Tallinn in 2024 is way different.
Mm.
And it was necessary to have those different canvases throughout to be the person I am today.
It's powerful. Okay, let's go back. Where did it all start, this idea of accounting?
So, I don't know where it exactly started. Like, there wasn't a definitive day. Both my brothers are also CAs. That's so great. Yeah, they were probably the the goalpost of where I wanted to be or where I wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
But it was difficult for me to actually decide what I wanted to study. It was always a decision between medicine and engineering and accounting, so it was quite broad.
You did say if you weren't an accountant, you'd be an engineer, probably.
Exactly. So I still sometimes think I'd like to do a psychology. What do you call that? Industrial psychology? No, what's that type of engineering? Industrial?
Okay, what does the person do?
It's like an engineer, but they work with people.
I think it's an industrial psychologist.
Okay, yeah. So that was a very...
You're spot on.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. no, so that was also a very big option for me.
Mm.
And I think the day I decided to actually do accounting, it was because of the versatility.
Mm.
I love that you can literally go work anywhere, do anything. It's not the same thing that you have to redo over and over again. If I'm sick of doing accounting, I can go do financial management, or I can go audit or become a tax professional or whatever. So I love the versatility thereof, and it might not always be the case, but you have much more control over your working hours. It's not necessary to work over a weekend, whereas if you become a doctor, patients don't get sick because, or don't not get sick because it's Christmas. Like, life still happens for them. So I love the fact that we also have a bit more control in terms of our time with accounting. And as I've said, the more I studied it and climbed into the art of accounting, I just loved it more. You can actually make an impact in the world and drive businesses towards something meaningful.
And I was chatting with one of your colleagues, Udo,
and
we even spoke about how you can go anywhere with this degree, any industry. Like, being the numbers person, being the person that brings everyone back to the facts, because that's what numbers are. They don't lie. Numbers just don't lie. You are someone that's needed in every single space.
In every country.
Every
Every business. Yeah, if there's money, there's place for a CA.
Yeah. And it comes to an interesting idea that I heard the other day from a CA program marketing event. This was probably the only fact that I got out of it. The only real tidbit nugget. But you know how in India... they are now, they're an emerging, potentially even superpower, and they've really doubled down on tech skills. That's what Indians are globally renowned for. You have a lot of the Fortune 500 CEOs being Indian, which is absolutely insane. And so they're known for that. South African finance professionals are like an Indian's tech professional. You can go anywhere. When you get that CASA qualification, and you've been obviously applying yourself, you could go to London, could go to Australia, could go to India, you could go anywhere.
Yeah. The other day, Prof. Stichling, so she's the head of the BCom Accounting here at Tix, she said that she was at a conference in some other country, and CASAs are literally the best in the world. There's nothing that can get close to us. The technical skills we have, all the hours you need to put in to become a CA is worth it because of it. Because you'll literally find work anywhere without even having to do anything further than just becoming a CA.
You know where she went?
It was somewhere in Europe. I'm not exactly sure.
So you can go to Europe. Sure, you can go to Europe, guys.
My brother actually lives in the Netherlands. So he and his wife, both of them are CAs. And 90% of their friends are also South African CAs. It's not people that they even met here. There's such a big community there that they just found each other and now they are friends. So it's not that there are only opportunities. Like, people are already there.
Yeah.
And you can go and find a home in another country because the culture and everything will still be there if you are in the right communities.
It's crazy, mm. man.
No, no, there's a lot of South Africans. It's
there's amazing. Even this business. These guys, I really love for this guy to be on the podcast, but Daniel Steinman, he's a CA now.
Mm.
He was an aspiring CA just last year, so now he's recently qualified. And he started a business while he was in school called Old School.
Oh, yes.
The rugby jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I know that.
And he was a CA trainee, well, even a student when he started the business. And that was, for me, when I saw a little bit of Old School's background and what they are essentially providing as a service, or rather as a product, which is, if I think about the value that they provide South Africans, it's that sense of unity, even abroad.
Mm.
So like, he went to Paris and he saw these South Africans wearing these Old School jerseys. Like, what?
Oh.
Paris, all the way down there. There's so many South Africans everywhere. And I love how we're so, we have a different type of pride. I think we genuinely have, maybe not as, I don't know, American pride is a little bit unhealthy.
Mm, yeah, no.
Feels a bit unhealthy, American pride.
That's on this end of the spectrum of pride.
Yeah.
Just the bad end.
Yeah.
I think we have a good balance because it's not only pride, or let's rather say, I think Americans' pride is mixed with arrogance, where we are pride because we are proud.
It's not in your face. It's just, I'm just going to do me. I love my country.
Exactly.
I just love my country.
Mm.
Okay. I want to do some myth busting because you're obviously a top student. You were a top student. A lot of people feel like top students exist on a different wavelength of reality, that you that the top students walk on water.
Mm.
What have been your biggest struggles in your studies?
I think sometimes just dealing with everything else that is also going on. So it's not only studies, and it's not the only thing that you can focus on. Life happens around it. And to deal with both is what I sometimes struggled with. Last year, I was basically burned out. I was exhausted, and I've never felt like that. But you can't fall victim to it. Yeah. So even though it is difficult, I think what makes the difference is the fact that you pick yourself up and you go on again. So I never, or I tried to never let myself stay down. So I can't necessarily say that it was the most difficult thing, because I didn't want to become a victim to the most difficult thing happening to me. I never let it overpower me and take away what I'm working towards.
The victim mentality,
it steals
the productivity and the energy that you actually have.
And the love for what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you hate what you're doing, you're not going to want to wake up every morning and do it. But if I actually love what I'm doing, then it's okay if I fail a test. It is okay if I'm tired and I don't feel like doing it now, because I still love what I'm doing. I made an analogy once. Like, studying accounting is like being married. You don't always like the person. It is not always fun, and it takes hard work, but you will always love them. So I will always love the degree. I did not always like doing it, but you work around it and you make the best of what you have. There will be bad days, but there will also be magnificent days. And you need to work towards those magnificent days and celebrate them so hard that it makes up for the bad days.
You don't have to like the person. You don't have to like accounting. You have to love it. I actually want to go deeper into this one. So I've thought about this whole like love thing, and I think you don't actually even have to love what you do, but you have to love why you do it. I think when you love what you do, you can do it because you sort of derive energy and you derive satisfaction from the activity. It gets into this idea of exotelic versus autotelic activity. So exotelic activity means that the thing that you're doing is a means to an end, whereas autotelic activity, the means is an end. So in the case of accounting, it's if you are doing accounting for, you know, taking your family out of poverty. That's a reason that you love. Mm. That's a why that you love.
Mm.
Whereas some people do love accounting. So they do accounting to do accounting.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. And so I think there's different people in the program. There's those that love what they do, and there's those that love why they do. And then there's the middle, which is exactly where I was when I failed. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't really love it. And I just sort of float. Mm. And then you don't actually put in the work required.
But I also think there has to be a middle between mm-hmm. those two.
Okay.
Because you can't always, you won't always love accounting.
Yes.
I promise you won't love something that's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not nice to love something that you're struggling with.
Yes.
So there has to be a love for the accounting part of it. But you also need to be able to draw from the why I'm doing it.
Okay.
So that if the one fails you, that you can be like, no, I need to struggle through this now because I'm working towards this.
Mm-hmm.
Or when something happens in your family or whatever, that love falls away, then you need to fall back on, no, but I actually do love accounting.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there has to be a middle ground for them just because life changes around it. And you need to be able to draw from the different types of love when you get confronted with something.
That is powerful because this is actually a crazy idea. Because now you're getting me thinking, because I think if you can find the love in accounting, if you can find the things that you're interested in, when your why is not there to hold you, you still have something, some power to draw from. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah, for example, me, I did not like auditing. It was not a fun module for me. I struggled with it. Mm. I just did it because I had to. And if I felt like that about everything, I would never have finished.
Mm.
Because all my love can't be for what it will mean when I become a CA, because you still have to go through the process.
It's a long process.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so many years of your life that you have to commit to it. You can't not love what you're doing. So I had to find a way to make auditing fun for myself. Mm. Otherwise, I would hate every day. And you can't go through that and still achieve success at the end.
How did you make it fun for those who don't have fun with auditing?
I laughed at myself. Like, you have to celebrate the small things and you have to laugh at yourself when you make mistakes. Mm. I was very intentional, or I tried to be intentional about the way I spoke about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now more negative than I was then.
Because you're after the fact. You sort of have the luxury.
I have a 20/20 hindsight vision now.
Yeah.
But in the process, it's really tough.
Mm.
So I didn't allow myself again to become the victim of it. Auditing didn't get to steal my success from me.
Mm.
So I had to show it that I can overcome it.
Mm.
And I just had to find a way to make it fun. And that is why I laughed.
I think also it's a huge thing, Talil, is your outlook to never take the victim stance. And it gets me thinking about the idea of the difference between responsibility and accountability.
Mm.
You know, like, these are just one of the values in King, right? We just sort of say these words and we get the marks. But really, what is the difference between responsibility and accountability? Responsibility is different to accountability. So let me start with accountability, because I think it would be better to illustrate this one, because I think everyone understands accountability. We're accountants. Accountability means you answer to the thing. If you're accountable over something, you are the one who has to answer to it. The reason why it's so easy for us to be accountable to our performance is because you're the only one who receives the mark. No one else receives the mark. No one else even has to see the mark. You're the only one, you and the portal, nobody else. So we sort of understand that when we get our report at the end of the year, in a way, it was us. So we can answer to it. If someone's going, if there's a bursar, for an example, that may take away your funding, that was you, chief. You know, that was you, man. That was you. And so you can be accountable. What we lack is responsibility. Responsibility means we're going to have to do something about this thing of ours. Not just answer to it, but take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
progress
it, nurture it. And that means taking ownership of your performance and of your mindset, of the fact that auditing is yours to deal with.
Mm. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Nobody's going
to
do it for you.
You have to go and bay crawl through the difficult topics, and you have to struggle through it, and you have to consult and do all those nice, fluffy things.
Yeah.
But nobody else is going to do it for you. And also, I sometimes think we forget that it's not only academics. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can put in the time into studying, but you also have to put time into yourself.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was dancing. I went out every single weekend, no matter what, because I had to look after Talin. Mm. If I wasn't healthy or my mind space was in a bad place, how are you going to expect from yourself to actually remember and enjoy the things you're doing?
Mm.
So it's all about that balance of looking after the work and putting in the time that it requires, but also looking after yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to take responsibility for that too.
Yeah.
Because there's so many spheres in that. It's your mental health, it's emotional health, it's physical health. So those are the things you need to take responsibility of first, so that you're able to actually study hard.
There's a lot we have to take responsibility over. That's big, man. You're an AT, you're an academic trainee. What have you seen to be so far in the journey, the common struggles of students in financial management? I'm just curious.
To be continued in part 2. See you next week.